what's going to happen for the focus visit? Like, what are the criteria on? Like, is it going to be from those 10 years? Or are they going to still measure that from that same scale? Or is it going to be different? You don't want to, if it worked in the past on this, and then it's going to be different when they revisit, like, I think that we should collectively come together as students, clients, staff members, or whatever. We're going to work as a university. You got to work as a body. You can't work the different, okay, this needs to be here, this needs to be here, and who's ever provost over this department, if we never see them come together and we never get to talk to them, we really don't know who's over what or who's over who. So we don't know who to go to. So my first thing is, okay, if I have a problem, I'm going to Dr. Watson. I don't cry many chains, I overstep. It's not because I'm dumb or stupid. It's just, okay, that person sent me to that office. She sent me to that office. Okay, what office am I supposed to go to? Dr. Watson will tell me the right office. So I just go to him. So that's the whole thing here. Like, we don't have what's fact, what's fiction. And if it's not on paper teaching us to read, why can't we just read it? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to read what's the responsibilities of the provost, all the way down to enrollment management. Hiring all these people for jobs that students can do, that's not worth it. Some more of my concerns were about the higher learning committee. Who's on the committee? We don't know. Higher learning? That's the committee for, I guess, Karen, what's her name? Dr. Solomon, like, who's on her committee? Like, do they know any other people other than this young lady here at the university? It's about establishing a rapport, what they're teaching us in school. So if we're building a rapport that's gonna last a lifetime, then Chicago State itself, I guess, can build that rapport. So that way, the surrounding campus, the students from Tule Park that come here maybe once a week, they think they're gonna drop out, like stuff like that. I think that's the reason for our retention rate, because we don't have people that really care about the community as much as the campus itself. So those are my concerns for us. Can we get an outline? So that way we can follow, just like we have this agenda, it tells us when we're gonna adjourn. And we would just like, well, I would, as a student, would like the same respect as the meeting being adjourned as who's the provost and who's that provost directly under or over. And I think that would make it help our jobs, make our job easier as students.
Okay, good. Thank you for your comments. Dr. Westbrook, did you want to comment on some of those issues?
Excuse my back. I'm Dr. Westbrooks, the provost and senior vice president for academic affairs. I hope I've captured the concerns you've raised. Number one, I want you to be able to walk away confident that you have been able to concern or discern fact from fiction or fact for untruth. One, when I talked about the 5%, I was describing the population that we are being evaluated on. This is not a number that we've selected. The U.S. Department of Education dictates those retention guidelines and graduation guidelines. For us, and again, excuse my back, because I'm trying to talk in a mic and talk with you at the same time. The federal guidelines indicate that all universities must be able to graduate students within a six-year window. In looking at that six-year window, it is expected that we obtain a retention rate that is feasible, not only by the U.S. Department of Education, but also by the Illinois Board of Higher Education. The information that I've provided clearly indicates that our retention rate over the time since the report has been submitted, and I'm talking about since our last accreditation comprehensive visit in 2003, that enrollment has gone down, it has declined over the years, the retention rate has gone down, and the graduation rate. Therefore, it becomes a concern. You ask the question, well, don't we know why students are leaving? Yes, We do. But we need to be able to put it on paper every semester. The provost meets with provost council, which is comprised of all of the academic deans. In addition, the deans meet, if not weekly, monthly, with his or her department chairs, who are meeting with faculty to talk about where we are regarding retention in their respective programs. And so that you know, there's not a single reason why students leave. Chicago State is not unique. When we look at the U of I, for example, and its retention rate of a population similar to Chicago State University's, as well as its graduation rate, I think you would be quite surprised. That's what you don't hear about. Two, I was accurate when I stated there has been no marketing dollars that have been delegated or allocated to this. The university has not allocated marketing dollars for the university nor for the programs. The programs have reallocated dollars internally, but I'm talking about a commitment on the part of the university. It's not, okay, a lot of it is done through the initiatives that I described earlier. You know, I talked about how many of the colleges continue to bring in grant dollars. Those grant dollars, so these are external dollars, they support initiatives such as this. Health sciences, for example, and I didn't go into all of the details. It clearly indicates that they had, I don't remember the exact dollar amount that's in the report, but those dollars are specifically to recruit students to get into their programs. So there have been internal reallocations through the various programs, but I'm talking about a commitment on the part of Chicago State University to market not only the university, but all of its programs. So now that has been done. Regarding the focus visit, the only focus, and I need to repeat this, the only focus is going to be on the enrollment management. Again, Chicago State is not unique. You know, all institutions are grappling with enrollment right now. And for us, we need to celebrate. And I'm pleased to hear students, you know, say that they want to work with us, because we can't do it alone. You hear the concerns that students are expressing. And when those concerns have been voiced in forum, just like this one, and in campus assemblies, there has always been a response, always. So I'm pleased to hear you say that you're one of the students that would like to work with us, and encouraging all of your the other students to stay in school, to seek out the free resources that are available. You know, something as simple as we've extended library hours to 12 midnight. Guess what? I was here until 11 o'clock last night. I'm watching the activity, or should I say, non-activity. So you put it out there, we responded. So it is our expectation that students continue to take advantage of the resources that we're putting in place to help you continue through your matriculation and eventual graduation at this excellent institution. And lastly, you asked me about the composition of the Higher Learning Commission. It's not about who I know, but let me tell you something. The reality of it is, it's best that we all know somebody. I want to repeat that. It is best, it is in our best interest, because guess what? Other universities, They have people at the institution, at their institutions, that they've gone through the peer training. They sit on these teams, and this is national. This is not just the state of Illinois. So do we know who the team is going to be? I wish I did. Guess what? Last night, I would have been whining, dining, and doing whatever else I needed to do to help us prepare and to have a successful focus visit. So until that information is shared with us, we don't know who the team is going to be. I can't tell you if it's going to be a team of one, which would be great, or if it's going to be a team of five, which is extensive. Because typically when you have a team of five, that's when you have your big comprehensive visits. So when I meet along with Dr. Watson, when we meet with Dr. Karen Solomon in October, the early part of October, I'm sure she will share with us at that time more information relative to the focus visit. Okay. Did I miss any of your? Okay. And I'm looking forward to future conversations with you.
I want to commend you on your interest in these issues, number one, and second of all, in focusing on data and evidence as opposed to statements. And so I think that the board certainly supports that, and thank you for bringing that up.
So are we going to be able to get those documents at all, or are we going to be able to get them in
Any of those, most of those documents are public, and I would encourage Dr. Westbrooks and Dr. Brooks-Williams to figure out how to make sure they're available to you. Yeah.
Very much.
I would just like to say this. Just for one second, I'm talking to this guy real quick. I'm currently a member of the Student Government Association here at Chicago State University. And through that position, I've, as a senator, which is the starting level, I've been given access to, through committees, information about the real data about enrollment, tuition, and fees. I've been on committees that were doing selection committees for these individuals who are putting into office. And if you really want, I know you probably got time to go to class and all that, but if you really want to have a real impact on the university, that would be the route, the most direct route to get what you want done. They are holding senator elections for the fall semester. If the packets are not out, they will be out shortly. And if you would like to get more information about that, I would go to the Department of Student Activities and speak with Marve Jackson, who is the advisor for the Student Government Association. And I would just like to encourage any other students who share his passion and for information getting to also join in those positions and become a larger part of the university family. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to add on to that. My name is Michael O'Connor. I'm with the organization Students for Accountability and Transparency at CSU. I'd like to tell the young man, before you leave, come back. If you want to do something, and not just only him, but any other student, if you'd like to do something before the elections at FGA, you can always join our FARS organization. We have several members here, and for those students who would like to have a direct access in terms of direct action before the actual elections with SGA, please join our group, and we also have the applications out. So I'll see you on campus, trust me. What I'm here to actually to talk to the board about, or my concerns as well as my questions, I'm a returning student. I know some of you. I am also a avid public policy person, okay, outside of these walls. I noticed when we talk about our reputation in terms of CSU and how we are unique, how we are not unique compared to other universities, to a certain degree, I far as agree with that. We're all public universities. However, CSU is one of the oldest public universities here in the state of Illinois, and quite frankly, we're still being treated like a stepchild. With that being said, the governance issue is a responsibility of the board. I'm specifically talking about the fiduciary responsibility. I watched in horror. I actually felt sorry for the financial aid director, Ms. Hooker, because on Chicago Tonight, I actually watched with the thousands of people that watched that show that Chicago State really, their plan in terms of making up the gap for financial aid, I think it's 3.6 million for students. The response was one of, well, they have to share books, okay? That was it. I got a problem with that, and I'm sure a lot of other students have a problem with that, because we have a $3.6 million gap because the legislators have decided to cut financial aid. What part, since the Board of Trustees do have a fiduciary responsibility, what is their part in terms of making up that gap so that a number of students who are either about to graduate or who need the money and can't and may not be able to go to school next semester, what plans, if any, has been implemented to try to help with that gap? I mean, do we have an enrollment, or excuse me, do we have an endowment?
O'Connor. Earlier in Dr. Brooks Williams' report, we discussed the plans and the actions that are taking place because the board is very concerned about those missing, or the dollars that have been cut, and understands that those dollars are necessary for students to be able to attend CSU. And I would encourage you to, since we've already covered that in this
to meeting, see the report.
To talk to Dr. Williams after the.
Irma will be talking.
Yeah, we have a plan in place in terms of trying to restore those cuts along with other universities throughout the system. Are you engaged with our monetary assistance committee to advocate to go to Springfield to help restore those funds, call legislators? Because the problem that I'm hearing is that none of us, legislators have not heard from us. Although,
Dr. Williamson, you know I worked for a legislator for 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm well aware of that response, because it has not been a public response from students as well as the other adversely far as affected persons. Not saying that they would lie. However, I do know that we have, I think, 10, maybe 11 Black Caucus members here who graduated from this institution, and there's no reason under the sun that we can't get $3.6 million. I've talked to several of them.
I've talked to Representative Howard's office, and you're a good friend of Representative Howard. She hasn't heard from us, neither Senator.
I have not talked to State Representative Howard's office. I've talked with a number of Black Caucus members on an informal situation for the last month.
I don't think we have time to deal with all the specifics.
Right, so let me move on. I would like to move on. I would like to move on far as with other concerns. Right here, because of the fact that we're now dealing with a $5,000 fine per for not far as responding to the FOIA, far as initiative, does the Board of Trustees see this as something that they need to be dealing with? Because I wish that Reverend Leon Finney was here. Because what I'm finding is that every time I turn on my television, this guy is getting into arguments with our public policy decision makers. And that's not in our best interest as a university. For example, there was a major argument on the Target issue concerning Fredrina Lyle, who is the alderman of the area over here. How do we expect to build relationships with political decision makers who can impact what happens to us that they can control in terms of city revenue? If we got our certain board of directors acting a fool on TV. So what I would like to do is to caution the Board of Trustees to please, at this point, because CSU's reputation is at best ambiguous in terms of how we are looked upon, not only from a fiscal point, but also an academic point, if somebody could talk to this guy and tell him to stay off television unless he's directly talking about CSU issues in terms of bringing in some money, because that is the fiduciary duty and responsibility of the Board of Trustees. In terms of the $250,000 for enrollment and for marketing, has there been, where can we get this information in terms of who got those contracts? There, from what I understand.
It's been allocated in the budget.
Right, I know it has.
Those dollars have not been committed or spent, I don't believe.
Okay, so there has been no decision in terms of who could possibly get those contracts yet. Okay, thank you. I also wanted to know, is there a possibility that the Board of Trustees or the alumni representative would be able to help the students in terms of our rally on October 15th to Springfield to make sure that legislators understand the importance of not allowing, of filling that $3.6 million gap? I see him back here, but I mean, is there a way that you two could, somebody could talk and we could do a direct thing?
That's the conversation you missed when you weren't here at 7:30. But also, yeah. Michael, there's another rally September 29th.
Right, and October 9th. I'm familiar with that.
October 9th as well. But in terms of the foyer, I talked about that before you arrived this morning.
Right.
The foyer law doesn't go into effect until January of next year in terms of the 5 days versus the 7 days. And as you said, there's a $5,000 penalty if we don't respond. We've been really responding rather efficiently to the FOIA request.
I understand. Well, okay. I know that there are some concerns with that.
The problem is that we have to now add additional staff people to respond to those overwhelming requests.
Mm-hmm.
So it does place a financial hardship on the university.
Is there a way that there can be an internship program unpaid set up for those persons who are marketing students to basically help you do that so that we can stay in compliance here at CSU? Either marketing or political science students, unpaid, since you don't have any money, unpaid internship that would help to process the FOIA files responses in a quicker way.
Yeah, we can look at that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other public or employee comments? We have one more.
Hi. My name is Danielle Wallace. This is only my second semester at Chicago State, but I was in class and very disturbed by some of the things that I heard, so I decided to come to the meeting today. And I just have two questions. One, you spoke about hiring a person for student enrollment, a vice president of student enrollment management. What would be the requirements or qualifications for a person to gain that position?
First of all positions that are posted, okay, they appear on the university website. This is for the students to know also. The qualifications in terms of, I think it, because I don't have it in front of me and I've been reviewing so many. I think minimally the person has to have a master's with a doctorate preferred. With at least a minimum of 8 years of experience in a higher level, a senior level position, working directly with enrollment management. So clearly someone who has a focus and experience in working with strategic planning for enrollment management, someone who has written enrollment management plans, but it clearly, you know, and because I don't want to diminish or minimize the importance of the position. And since I don't have it in front of me, I just want to refer you to the website. If you go to the CSU homepage and click H under Human Resources, and under Human Resources, it actually has it listed, administrative and faculty positions. If you click that on, every position that's been posted with the university is available for viewing for the world.
And the deadline is September 18th for that particular position. It's been extended.
Yeah, the active positions.
Also, one of my concerns when I first got here was, I'm not gonna put home blast, but advising that myself, and I came here with three of my younger siblings, and they're all freshmen. And the problem was, we all basically knew what our career goals were, me especially. And the problem was that we just wanted some guidance as to how to get to that position, as far as what classes to take, what major, what have you. And we found it lacking.
Well, I'd like to respond to that. First of all, I need to clarify something. I think I understood you to say that this is your second semester?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you come in as a first-time, full-time freshman?
No, ma'am.
No?
No.
Okay, because that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. If you come in as a first-time, full-time freshman, all advising occurs through the University Advising Center, with the exception of those programs that are housed in the College of Arts and Sciences. All other students have a special advisor that they meet with for one full year, and that's through the University Academic Advising Center. For transfer students that come in, the responsibility for advisement rests with the major. And I would welcome an opportunity to, one, to find out what your major is, and at that point we'll have a conversation with the dean of that respective college to determine who we should be talking with regarding their availability to advise you.
Sure. Okay. One last thing. You spoke about the weaknesses. I was, since I haven't been here long, I was wondering what are the things that actually work already in the university as far as enrollment services?
What work?
Yeah, like the things that you don't need to change, maybe I can utilize those services more.
Well, one of the things that was clear was consistency and being able to reach out to the students, not once during the semester, but on a continuous basis. So just keeping the lines of communication open, having someone who doesn't, you know, do this, but someone who's supportive, who's really serving as a mentor for the students, who has contact at least once a week, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's done electronically, and just ask the simple questions. You know, are you attending your classes? Do you need any help with your classes? And then if you, the student, indicate that you are having some problems, that individual is able to direct you to, these are the resources that are available. You know, we have tutors over in the Learning Assistance Center. A lot of students don't even know about it. And this is free. It is available free to students. All they have to do is go and sign in and establish a schedule. So those are some of the things that we know have proven to be successful, but we need to make those things systemic across all programs, not just the selected few and the Honors College.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other comments? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
I believe that the Finance Committee is supposed to start momentarily, but we need a chair.